Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we meditate together on your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may live with hope in Christ Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. I think sometimes we can have in our heads romantic ideas about the early church. That the early church was simply a model of holy living, and that if we could go back to how things were then, we wouldn't have the problems in the church that we now have. But when we go back and read the New Testament, a more realistic picture emerges. The first Christians, like us, were flesh and blood human beings. They had all the issues that we, in fact, face in the church today. In fact, we could say that in Corinth, this situation was particularly dismal. And we're hearing from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthian Christians today. At Corinth, there were factions, people breaking apart, supporting different apostles, even saying they supported Christ rather than Paul or Apollos or Peter. Things like this. In the Corinthian congregation, there were people suing each other, taking each other to court. And I imagine here in this congregation, there were two people sitting who were seeing each other in court the next day, suing each other. Also in the Corinthian congregation, there was sexual chaos. One bloke was shacked up with his dad's wife. It was seen as no problem. Others were visiting prostitutes. And this was understood to be no different to going to McDonald's and buying a burger in modern terms. This sort of stuff. Read 1 Corinthians. Read it. You'd also see there was liturgical chaos. In fact, St. Paul says that their celebration of the Lord's Supper was so off base, it wasn't the Lord's Supper they were even celebrating. That's how bad things had got. There were even people in the congregation who denied the resurrection of the body. So St. Paul had to spend the whole of 1 Corinthians 15 giving clear teaching on the resurrection. Now it's into this context, this, you could say, dismal context, that St. Paul wrote his letter that we heard from today. The church was at least as disappointing then as it is now. But St. Paul did not lose his temper, he did not despair, and he did not give up on the church. Because his hope was in the Lord of the church. His hope was in Jesus Christ. Now, the good news we will hear today from this reading is that we can live with hope because of Jesus Christ, because of who he is and what he has done. More than this, we can be thankful for the gifts that God gives us in Christ Jesus, gifts that we most need, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we can have confidence not in the community that we can create by our own power, but confidence in the community that God creates as we together receive the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen to the first words that St. Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians. He says this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The first word he says, grace to you, right? Undeserved favour to you. Now he knows that according to God's law, the Corinthian Christians deserve punishment, not favour. But St. Paul knows who God is, that he's shown great favour in Christ Jesus. And he uses his apostolic authority to proclaim this grace, grace from God to the Corinthian Christians. And he also says peace to you, wholeness to you. He knows there are factions, he knows the problems that they have. But he's proclaiming a grace and a peace, a wholeness that comes from God. He wants the Corinthian Christians to look to where their true unity comes from, and to understand where their hope actually lies. He says these gifts come from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, in our short reading of seven verses, Jesus' name and his title is given six times. So Paul, right up front, as he begins this letter, wants to let the Corinthian Christians know that his focus will be on Christ Jesus. In fact, St. Paul will directly start to talk about not just Christ Jesus, but his cross. That God could bring good things out of the cross of Christ. That out of that cross came the resurrection, came redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He wants the Christians at Corinth to have Christ as their focus. Christ in his humility, Christ in his suffering, in his love. Even here at Bethlehem, we like to keep these things in mind, even in this pulpit, where I stand underneath a depiction of Christ crucified, so that we are reminded together of what our focus is as God's people, and that the word we proclaim here at Bethlehem is the word of Christ and him crucified. Well, it's on the basis of Christ Jesus, of his suffering love, that Paul can be grateful rather than bitter. Here's what he writes. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. St. Paul doesn't complain to God about the Corinthian Christians. He doesn't complain. He doesn't express his frustration at their folly. Rather, he gives thanks to God for the gift of grace that God has given them. And this thankfulness, I would say, helps St. Paul understand who the Christians are at Corinth and his pastoral care for them. Because thankfulness can give us sight. I think this happens in everyday life in very simple interactions, by the way. At least in my experience, there's a difference in going to the shops and buying something without looking at the person who's serving me, and buying something and saying to them, thank you. Just saying simple words, being grateful that I can go to a shop and buy something, that someone's serving me, helps me see that I'm dealing not with a robot or a machine or a nothing, but a human being made in the image of God. Being thankful helps us see. Being thankful helps us see each other, helps us see God. Now, St. Paul specifies the gifts given to the Christians at Corinth, the gifts that he is thankful for. He says this, for in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you read through St. Paul's letter to the Corinth, you will see pretty quickly that the Christians there, many of them, had the very wrong idea about why they were given gifts from God, why they were given things even like knowledge or understanding. They thought they were given gifts from God as a kind of pat on the back, to show how good they were, how much more truly spiritual they were than their fellow Christians. They saw gifts, if you like, as gold stars from God, rather than gifts given for the building up of the body of Christ. I think most of you here would be familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. It's the great chapter on love, a reading that's read out regularly at weddings, also at funerals too. One of the most famous chapters in the Bible. But that great chapter on love comes right smack bang in the middle of St. Paul's discussion on spiritual gifts, chapters 12 and 14. St. Paul wants the people at Corinth to understand they've been given gifts for the sake of love, not for pride, not so they can consider themselves better than others, so that they can understand the peace and favour that comes from God, and that is rightly ordered when these gifts are used in service of one's neighbour. Now, like us, the Christians at Corinth were on the path to maturity. They had not yet reached the goal. So St. Paul does not give up on them. He knows that Christ is among them, and he uses his apostolic authority and hands on God's word to help them grow in Christian maturity. In all this, St. Paul's confidence is in God, in God's faithfulness to his promises, and the new community that God is creating in Christ Jesus. This, in fact, is what St. Paul writes. God is faithful. By him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Firstly, St. Paul says that it is God who is faithful. St. Paul knew himself, he knew the Corinthian Christians, and he knew that hope could not come from human strength or human faithfulness. Rather, our hope comes from God's faithfulness to us and the calling that God gives. So secondly, St. Paul says that God calls us into fellowship with Christ Jesus, a fellowship that is a sharing or a communion in all that is his. So, for example, we share in Jesus' gift of holy baptism. We share in his holy word. And we share also in his holy fellowship, his holy communion, where we receive together his body and blood. And again, these things aren't gold stars that God gives us for doing the right thing. Rather, these gifts have at their heart forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. Why do we together receive the gift of baptism which Jesus gives? We receive this gift because we need washing from God. That's why. Why do we receive God's holy word? Because this is how we receive the Holy Spirit, and that's the only way we can be sustained in faith. Why do we receive the body and blood of Christ? But for the forgiveness of sins. So at the heart of our community is not how good we are, how much better we are than other people, but our frank, common human need. And we have hope in our need because Christ Jesus is not dead, but alive. And we have a sharing in the gifts that he gives, a sharing that we experience as brothers and sisters in the one family. Now, we can be realistic about life in the household of God. Brothers and sisters in human families can drive each other nuts sometimes. That's also how it can be in the church. We can be honest about our own lives. The church does disappoint us. We disappoint ourselves. Heaven knows pastors are disappointing. But we are on the path to spiritual maturity. We have not yet reached our goal. But Christ Jesus, who died to bear our shame and sin, who lives to bring us into fellowship with the Father, gives us his gifts of forgiveness, his Holy Spirit, so that we can live hopefully, so that we can live thankfully, and so that we can live rightly confidently in the church, awaiting the revelation of the one who was crucified in humility, but who will be revealed in his glory as judge of the living and of the dead. So in this season of Advent, let us put our hope in Christ Jesus, to the glory of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.